Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, you might have seen there's a new TV show on Sky and Now TV called All Her Fault. And it's based on a book by an Irish author, Andrea Mara. And it's quite dark in ways. It's based around the kidnapping of a child and the kind of exposing of a family's lies. But one thing it is very sharp on is marriage, motherhood, schoolgate politics, judgment between parents, and also, I think, to the discomfort of a lot of men around the country, the division of labour in households. So author Adele Coffey in our Galway studio and Cara Herriott, co-founder of Mum Talks. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So you're both mothers. Adele, you have four children. Cara, you have one. And you're both navigating what we might call the momosphere. Adele, this show, All Her Fault, is it bringing up a few uncomfortable truths for parents?
I feel like I will be in trouble when I get home if I don't say that.
Yeah.
I left my husband cooking the dinner for tonight, so everything's in its place in my house.
Okay, that's your disclaimer, yeah?
No, but he's doing it because he can watch it, so he can watch the rugby later. Anyway, my disclaimer, yes, is that everybody in my school gates are amazing and my husband's amazing. Now let's talk.
Okay.
So yeah, absolutely. There were two lines that really struck me, and I've watched the whole thing and I won't do any spoilers because I know people want to watch it. It is brilliant. But two lines really struck me. One was the woman who was trying to get the mothers to volunteer for her school sort of activities. And then the other one was when Dakota Fanning says to her husband, you know, you have your me time, where he goes off and he does whatever he wants to do. And she says, my me time is laundry. It's grocery shopping. And that really hit home. And maybe that's not necessarily because my husband doesn't want me to have me time. It's more to do with the fact that maybe I have guilt about me time, or maybe I feel like, oh, I have to get this thing done, so I'm going to do it in this time that I have. So sometimes it's our own fault. We do it to ourselves. Women do this to ourselves. The guilt gets us. But it definitely brought up a lot of those feelings.
That's internalized misogyny. You know, you're blaming yourself there.
Syndrome. Yeah. I'm actually saying it's not men's fault. It's
Stockholm
my
syndrome.
Fault.
You have kidnapped yourself there. So listen, maybe tell me briefly about your own mothers first, because I do think this is very much, this speaks to this generation of parents, this show. Cara, your mother didn't work outside the home,
no,
did she?
No, she didn't. No, she chose to stay at home. She's very lucky. I mean, it's a totally different generation. So she was a single mum, raised three of us, and incredibly strong, raised three strong women that, so she was... It's a totally different time. It's very hard to relate, actually, to her mothering me than for me going out working and my sisters all going out working.
Yeah.
So she had the time to kind of nurture, you know, cook, clean. I mean, she would say she did way too much for us. We left going to college without knowing how to
boil an egg
and tie our shoelaces. So in that respect, it's very hard. But I think she gave us the very strong stability of a home life where she was there, because it was a single home.
Adele, your mom?
Yeah, I had a very sort of, for the time, standard setup. So my dad was a plumber. He went out and worked and was the breadwinner. My mother stayed at home with us. As we got older and as things changed in my family, my dad got sick at a certain point. She did go out and work. But there was always this situation where she was always at home when I got home from school. So as I went to secondary school, she had more time in the day to be working. But there was something that was... this sense of there was always somebody in the house, which was a gorgeous feeling to grow up with as a child. And I remember some of my friends had divorced parents, and I remember there being a different feeling in their home. And I remember feeling lucky, actually. Mm-hmm. But my role model, you know, in terms of mothering, my mother was a stay-at-home mother, technically, you know. So I didn't become a mother until I was 37. So I had a whole career there, and a career that I loved, and a very busy, time-consuming career. And I did feel that was a huge wrench for me when I had kids. And I moved away from Dublin at the same time. So it was like a double whammy. But I do think your model that you have is one that plays into the kind of parent you think you should be. Like, I felt a lot of guilt about, you know, not being fully stay at home, even though I work from home, you know?
Yeah, Cara, you would agree, yeah.
Absolutely. And I remember vividly the day I had to drop my 10-month-old creche and the wrenching feeling that it wasn't right. Yeah. It was in my gut, this feeling that this is not right. you know, I had to do it. I had to go to work. And then building up that resilience of, resilience, I don't know if that's the right word, of, okay, this
that's
is now part of your
us.
Life. Yeah, this is now part of your life. Your daughter is in, you know, in the capable hands of the provider that you've sent them to. And then going to your desk and then being, trying to be good enough, you know, in work, and then having a baby.
So overproving yourself in
absolutely
work.
Absolutely, well, trying to consistently... The self-doubt kicks in, I think, when you become a mum. Am I doing a good enough motherhood job? Am I doing a good enough wife job? Am I doing a good enough friend job? And then suddenly you're back in the 9 to 5 and your child is sick all the time that first year. And you're apologising, having to leave work early or miss meetings. So that's where I would have found that really, really difficult that time, that wrenching feeling of leaving my my daughter, not being at home for her, which I had obviously grown up with in a very strong background that my mum was always there. So I found that very, very hard.
Yeah, okay. Adele, the worry then. Does a mother worry about a child from the day they're born until the day they die, basically?
Oh, gee. Touch wood. Touching wood here.
The mother dies.
Yeah. Okay. You see, this is the novelist's brain overactive, and I think what's making writers like Andrea Mara's novels so popular, and what's making them resonate so much with readers and with viewers, is the fact that she's taking the ordinary fears of parents and she's playing them out into their exponential sort of ending. So, like, I think from the moment you become pregnant, even maybe, or the moment your baby's born, you have all these, like, you hear women talking about intrusive thoughts all the time. Like, I remember always worrying about, you know, what if I dropped the baby, when you would be holding the baby, or, you know, when the baby went to sleep, why was that the time when you thought about all the terrible things that could happen to them in the night? Mm-hmm. It was like they all just rush in. And I think, yes, worry is an enormous part of being a parent.
And Cara, do mothers worry more than...
I mean, we've built this community for the past 9 years. So we've been in a very privileged position of seeing mums that come in with new babies. So they're all on maternity leave, and it's a very safe space for them to talk. And they do feel it's all on them, you know. Yeah. And it's not saying that men are bad or men aren't doing their thing. I think we're biologically totally different species, you know.
Yeah. But culturally, we're set up with maternity leave. You know, paternity leave is 1 month long, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky,
maternity leave is like, you know, the 6 months or the year, mm-hmm. again, if you're lucky. Yeah. So the onus is there on the mother, isn't it?
And I'm not saying... and Adele, like, the men are pretty useless in all her fault. I won't avoid it. It's the mothers who are up with the baby at night. It's the mother also who's putting her life and career on the back burner. Do you think that's pretty representative of a lot of situations?
Yeah, well, I don't think the mothers are putting their careers on the back burner in that. I think they're working, but I think what they're doing is they're the ones who are making the sacrifices, you know, and I do think that is quite common. I think, as you were talking about earlier there, you know, if somebody gets sick, it's usually the mother who will sort of take the day off, or if something happens, they're usually the one. And that might be, again, my Stockholm syndrome's coming in again. It might be because the mother is the one who wants to be with the child when the child is sick, or feels like, I'm the only one who can take care of them properly. You know, you don't know what it is that they really like when they're sick. But I do think generally that is the case. It is the mums that kind of, like, there's been an orange warning, rain weather warning up there, isn't there? So I know schools were cancelled yesterday for some people. How many people was it? How many mothers or fathers was it that, you know, picked the kids up at 10:30?
So, Cara, is there a deal done or a conversation had in your experience about, like, this is how we're going to do this? And
I mean, not in our home. And my husband is absolutely hands on. So and that, again, is my clause. He is brilliant. He does his bit, and it's very shared in the family.
OK,
but
noted.
Yeah, thank you.
Go on.
But I do think that I myself, like Adele is saying, I took this all on myself. I want to be the point of contact for the school, the WhatsApp groups. Oh my God, the WhatsApp groups. which my husband has actually, in 14 years now, he's on a couple of them at the moment, so this year. So that's a first. But no conversations have been had. It's just, I think I've over... It's like I don't know, Adele, if you can relate to this. Is it overcompensating trying to be the best mom? I don't know. I don't want to be the best mom.
Perfection really comes into it.
Yeah.
I think.
And control.
Yes, perfection, control. These are the two words that I've been thinking about all week regarding this topic.
Go on.
Because I think when you have a baby and you take maternity leave, which is sort of the standard procedure, right? You cannot control the situation. You think you can control it. You know, you've maybe been in a corporate situation, or you've maybe been in a professional situation, and you apply the spreadsheet and it all works perfectly. You come into the world of having a baby and nothing works the way. Like, reason does not apply. You can apply reason, but it will have no effect. And so there's this desperate, in my case, there was this desperate urge to regain control, or to regain a sense of control. But actually, it's all just chaos. And it's just sort of managed chaos. But then there's the external judgment, where everywhere you go, you seem to see people who are managing much better than you, when actually inside they might be primal screaming, but they look like they've got their makeup on, and they look like they've got cakes baked for the cake sale, and they might, you know, be slim and have their bodies back, as you were so often told. And they're, you know, they're just looking like they have it all together. And so there's this element of feeling like a failure in the context of that. And it's a weird bubble as well, that maternity time, because you're not in work, so you don't have your sort of normal networks, and you're existing in a time of the day when most people are off doing things, and you're just sort of roaming around like a ghost. That's how I felt when I was on maternity. It was kind of this spectral feeling of like pushing a buggy around and not knowing what to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is social media contributing to that kind of 100%. Perfectionism and guilt, Cara?
Yeah, and I mean, we see it with our mums. They come in and a majority will come in all dressed up, makeup done, because they feel that that's how they need to. The other mums have got there, and we're like, you do not, you know, show up as yourself. Putting, it does, it can make you feel better, you know, when you have your face and hair done and it makes you feel better. But social media is showing mums that this is the perfectionist of a mother, which is not the case. You know, you've 24 hours in a day, and following on social media, it's a sales
tool. And you're
tool,
awake for most of those 24
hours. You are. You absolutely are. And you're death scrolling. And the thing is, the photos and the stories you're looked at are a little sales piece. And they're, you know, a 1 minute of a baby in its white, beautiful baby grow with its lovely multicolored blocks around it. And then 3 seconds later, the photo's taken and
poonami.
There's a poonami and there's baby vomit and the blocks are, you know, being eaten by the dog. So social media is quite toxic, I think. I didn't have it when I had my daughter, which, because it wasn't around, really, it was only at the start of it. And I think that was really beneficial to me, because as a mid-40s woman, I can find it very toxic, and I, you know, feel myself the imperfections that aren't realistic, that I'm not achieving.
Do you feel good after you have a good old scroll like through other people's?
No, I feel like I'm trying to shop for stuff that I don't need, which is, you know, it's crazy.
Adele, did the work from home help any of this, or did it make it worse?
Oh no, it absolutely helped. And also it helps with my sort of desire to control everything. So, you know, I can feel like a stay-at-home mother and be at home whilst also telling everyone to get out of my office. So it's like you have this sense of like, I'm here for the children.
You're having it all.
Don't interrupt me. I'm having it all and I'm doing it all. No, so, and for me particularly, like my particular area of work was media, and the hub of that is Dublin, and I had, you know, moved across the country to Galway. So I felt very out of the loop, but also, you know, the fact of journalism and print journalism in particular, and radio journalism, is that you can do it from different places. And also print journalism, I could do it in my pyjamas, you know, at 12 o'clock at night. So it was a very flexible situation. But the flip side of flexibility and working from home is you're working all the live long day. So you're thinking, oh, well, I'll just do that after the kids go to bed, when I'm absolutely exhausted and should just be sitting down.
So listen, the school gate and the other parents, right? And we will, all disclaimers,
we'll
take
schools,
as given, they're all
the
fantastic and everything. Yeah. Adele, you alluded to that very funny bit in the show where the really keen kind of PTA mom is telling the new parents in the school, and we're going to have Throwback Thursdays where the kids dress up in, I think, 80s gear. And some parents are great and have the time and energy for the bake sales, the dress up days, the making things, etc. Is that more pressure?
Oh, of course, it's huge pressure. Well, I feel it as huge pressure, and I have a huge dollop of resentment in there every time I get a note about, like, you know, an event that's happening, particularly a dressing up event, because I'm useless at it, and I just feel like my children's outfits are just always subpar. Like, they are not the, like, it's a kid that came into my school recently.
Do the kids care?
They don't. No, they're really happy because they choose what they want to wear. But like, you are on a hair trigger like all morning. Like, if you get the face paint wrong, and it might be the simplest face paint, it's not about skill here, it's about just if it's not what they imagined in their head, like, you know, that can be the whole morning ruined, that can be like the day in school slightly off kilter. But no, I do think that the volunteering is important, right? And the longer, like, I've been involved in school for 10 years now, and the longer that the kids are in school, the more you realise that everybody has to do it.
Yeah.
And the more that people do, the less that everyone else has to do. Like, we all do a little bit, so nobody has to do a lot. And I have been that parent, like, standing in front of a group of parents saying, if everybody signs up, we just do a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe I'm this person now. But actually, Cara, you know, I've been on four committees now.
You know, Adele, the signing up woman, the same woman Cara, have you experienced the thing where, as a child of one parent, she says the child of one parent needs to volunteer a bit more, because that's fairer
that
on everyone.
Shocking.
Absolutely, 100%. And unfortunately, I lived really close to the school, so it was like, can we use your fridge? Can we use your oven? Okay. And again, I was very happy to help
kid,
out.
Like,
I
sure
have
you're
one kid. I, what,
sitting
what would
back
I
with your feet
what
on the
would
table.
I be doing
yeah.
with my time? I did find that, yes, definitely. And you know what? No one, I'm sure that was more in my mind than anything else. But I do think maybe having one child, you are put into a little box of you know.
Life. Your life must be so easy.
Lady Muck.
Absolutely, Lady Muck, yeah.
What about there's a lot of playdate politics in All Our Fault as well. Cara, are there playdate politics in Ireland? And, unwritten, unseen debts and stuff like that.
100%. So I have two sisters and they both have three kids each, and I can see the politics are outrageous. They have to write down the dates, who they've seen on what date, how many children they've had, how many they can fit in a car on a Friday going back, and then planning their work day that hopefully 2 weeks later they'll be able to get that back, you know, the play dates back.
Okay, so Adele, there's a ledger kept. It's like the blockchain or something, is it?
So I've just started to sweat from many parts of my body because I don't keep a ledger, and I'm all about no need to reciprocate. And I realise maybe other people are thinking, there's absolutely a need for you to reciprocate.
Okay, this is all crystallizing for you here now as they listen.
I'm a failure. But no, I do some play dates, but we have to juggle them a lot. And also, like, again, as I find, like, with four children, I only have a certain capacity for even more noise in the sort of in the sphere that I live in, so I don't do them that often.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're saying Cara,
I do them when
Cara should be doing them. We'll hook you guys up afterwards. Maybe we can have a cross country play date. Adele, a bit like the kind of throwback Thursdays and bake sales and everything, the WhatsApp groups, Cara alluded to them earlier. So firstly, like, some people seem to have endless energy for being really high involvement on the WhatsApp groups rather than just keeping it like utilitarian, don't they?
Yeah, I'm hostile, defensive is my sort of default position when it comes to WhatsApp. I will respond maybe 48 hours later, but I've just discovered there's a new weapon in the WhatsApp groups for activities where
needed a new weapon, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't answer, like, there's disappearing messages now. So if you don't answer the poll within 24 hours, your option to answer the poll is gone and your kid is not in the poll. So you have to actually do it within 24 hours.
And does that mean
now.
The kid isn't out of the party or whatever?
Oh, no. This is not in the party situation. But, like, you know, it's just, you have to respond to them within a certain a timely fashion, but also if you respond to them in a timely fashion, you spent 8 hours a day responding to WhatsApp groups in a timely fashion, and it could actually send you around the bend.
Yeah, and you also seem to have to respond to everyone else's response and hey, yeah, and kind of thumbs up and all that kind of thing.
I love that. And it escalates as well in terms of, like, that was the best party ever that happened. And you just have to keep it outdoing the previous. serious comment. So, of course, some people end up just not comment. I just do a thumbs up on most things.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And hope it's not seen as passive aggressive.
I mute.
Do you?
That is passive aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or aggressive.
Yeah. Because they know you mute, right?
I mean, I don't respond.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Well, they don't know, but...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but they're keeping... It's on the blockchain. They're keeping check. Yeah. Adele, notwithstanding your husband's amazing and everything, how many of the WhatsApp groups is he handling and how many are you handling?
So I'd say
that's a fairly simple sum, isn't it?
Well, it's actually... It's in single figures for him, I think. But when our older two went to secondary school, I did say, look, okay, so you take these activities and I'll take these. So, but I'm still on the ones that he organises. So like I'm like the backup WhatsApp, but he's not on the ones that I organise. So what does that tell you, Brendan?
Mm-hmm. It tells you that the Irish men are less inclined to be talking. Like, isn't that we're like our fathers?
Is that what it is?
The women are better at getting on, like everyone accepts.
Organized chaos.
Love this, Brendan. Isn't that what you're saying? We love it.
No, it's just, imagine if I said no. It's in your nature, sure, isn't it?
And
around the school scene, is there competitive parenting at all?
Well, you know, I'm a horribly competitive person, so
okay,
I don't know.
So this is coming from you.
Yes, it's my fault. No,
you're
I don't know.
If,
no, I'm not the alpha mom, absolutely not. But I don't know if I see everything as competitive and therefore I'm saying it's competitive. But I definitely think that there are moms that are just like absolutely brilliant. And I look at them and I think, God, like, how is she doing that? And also they'll be the ones that have everything organized. Like last week, for example, I'm sure many moms will be aware of the school shoebox appeal, you know, where you fill a shoebox and with presents and you wrap it up and it's sent off for Christmas to other kids. But, you know, because I sort of miss the emails and miss the WhatsApps, the first sign I'll get of this is a child carrying a wrapped up shoebox. And there'll be that moment of like, oh my God, is it today? Is it today? And then somebody will say, oh no, they're not due for 2 weeks. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why are you bringing this shoebox in? I'm frightening all of us other mothers with this, getting it in early. But yeah, it is, I think there is a competitive thing. And I think that again comes back to how women are judged and how we perceive ourselves as not being allowed to fail, as not being allowed to, you know, a half-hearted job. Like, it all has to be 100%. It all has to be perfect. It all has to be, you know, smiles and shiny. But look, my failures were so public. I've had so many failures. There was one day where I locked my babies, who were like, they were literally too small to open their seatbelts, locked them in the car outside the school at school getting out time, and rang my husband and said, I've locked the babies in the car. What will I do? He said, I'm just boarding the plane. I'll talk to you later. Hung up. And I was ready to smash the car window, and then this man arrived amongst the masses of mothers, and he just sort of appeared like smoke, and he had like all this car opening paraphernalia, and he just pulled back the frame of my car window with his bare hands and then like unlocked the doors. And everybody cheered and cried, and he just disappeared. And
that was probably his like, one day doing the school run, in fact,
where
he made an impact.
Okay,
listen, I've loads of texts here. I think it's actually worth reading some of these because. So I have two sons, and their wives had babies 12 months ago. This is from a man, right? They're in their 30s. I'm embarrassed when I see all the work and how much they help out with their baby. It's unreal. In my time, it was all work, earning a living. Looking back now, I could have helped out more. I think fathers say a lot more hands-on. Someone else says, this all amounts to women putting pressure on each other. They should just relax and learn from the men. Half joking, all in earnest. Someone else is listening. Now that my three daughters are in their early 20s, I'm getting PTSD thinking of the costumes I had to put together for them in primary school, nativity plays, Halloween, etc. I'm a granny in my 60s. Those two girls... are an inspiration. An inspiration to any young mothers on the reality of being a mum. I've observed so much in seeing my daughter and her struggles as a new mum. Every young mum will take comfort from them.
Nice.
Yeah, so a good trick is for encouraging dual responsibility is the dad being the designated WhatsApp group member of all the WhatsApp groups. And someone else then said, lads and lassies, is it really a sacrifice to look after our beautiful children?
It's
having
not.
To put a career in the back burner, we have a choice about what we prioritise.
Can I make a comment on that?
Mm.
I don't think we do have a choice anymore, and I think that's a real problem.
Yeah,
I think
people need two salaries generally these days for a mortgage, for anything.
It's so damaging. It's so damaging. And I know...
Like, that's the big change that we're talking about. You talk about your own mothers, and we talk about now. That's the big difference.
They could afford to live and raise a family on one, like, average industrial wage. Like, my dad was a plumber. It wasn't like they were earning loads of money. It was like a simple wage, and we cannot do that anymore. We do not have the choice to do that anymore.
And I'm seeing on the face of it, mums now that are coming, that they are not able to get childcare. So they're out of their careers. They cannot walk into their job, you know, after the maternity, because they can't get a childcare creche until they're two. So what position does that put you? It puts pressure on grandparents. It puts pressure on people around you to support you to try and go back to work. And you have to work.
Yeah.
So that's what we're seeing.
Or else you're 2 years out of your career. Yeah. And it's very hard to get back in. I think a lot of women hang in there in some shape or form.
Absolutely. And try to get through it.
For a few years and get through it.
Yeah.
And they might not even be making a net profit on working themselves in the childcare.
It's really difficult.
But it is worth doing that, I would say, because, like, you know, my youngest is 9 now, and I feel like there's a sense of freedom. And for anyone who's listening and thinking, like, my career is shot and my life is over, like, it's not. It comes back. There's a few years of really hard work, but you know, you get there. You get back there.
Would you agree, Cara?
Totally. And
you don't tell women to tough it out, but it is that few years.
Yeah, and it's not even tough it out. It's, you will get your confidence back. I think a lot of this is your confidence when you become
and
a mom.
Then menopause will hit.
Woo. Oh well, I mean, that's another show. I think on that. But the confidence when you become a mother, it's a huge, massive change in your body and your mind.
Yeah. So, is it easy to lose yourself at that time?
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to have support groups, to go and meet like-minded women, you know, business networks or coffees or, you know, even these meetups that Mum Talks run. It's really important to connect and feel that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that you can get back to, as Adele said, you know, yourself through the year. So it's a really, really tough time, I think. And it is really tough for mums out there at the moment.
Okay. My 93 and a half year old mum worries about me, says this 65-year-old, and my brother, who's 62, pretty much all the time. I, in turn, worry about my 35 and 32-year-old children, and now my daughter-in-law is expecting a baby in April. My mother and I unite in worrying about the prospective new arrival. It never stops. It never stops, does it, Adele?
Oh, I love it. No, it doesn't. But, like, what an expression of love that text was. So
but
beautiful.
Listen, you did manage to squeeze out a book. You have a new book coming out soon, Adele, and a bit of good news around it.
Book number three. See, when you're working at home, you can squeeze the stuff out. But yeah, I've book number three coming in February, and we've got a little meeting set up with LA Time next week, so hopefully something nice will come
from
that.
This could all of this period of your life could be a distant memory soon, Adele, out in LA sipping margaritas by the pool. Writer Adele Coffey and Cara Herriot, co-founder of Mum Talks and founder of Cara Herriot Consultancy. Thank you both very much.
Email brendan@rte.ie.